It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll hear from BMAC, Brian McFadden, as we went around the NFL with him earlier. Interesting situations going on. We will update you guys. Tua Tagovailoa gets his deal. We'll talk more about that coming up in the 6 o'clock. Let's talk to our buddy Grant McCauley, best baseball guy in town, covers the Braves, covers MLB. Grant, what happened last night? What was going on with our Braves?
Well, we weren't watching the best baseball of the year, that's for sure. I mean, that was one of, and I said this on social, and I will stand by it, and I know they've had bigger losses on bigger stages, but last night was one of the worst losses in recent memory, and that is with respect to some other losses in recent memory that haven't been so great, including that one against the Cincinnati Reds, but they ran themselves into some trouble. They overran the final out of the game. I don't know that I've ever seen that happen. It just felt like if it could go wrong for the Braves in the final couple of innings, it went wrong, and unfortunately for them, it feels like they've kind of, with this slow start to the second half and losing five in a row and five out of the six that they played, kind of backed themselves into a very precarious position because it, at the very least, is casting a lot more doubt on their playoff chances and their playoff hopes than we felt a week ago. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, where does something like that come from with Kelnick? I mean, I know he was very sheepishly saying I was just trying to do too much, but I mean, is that? I mean, it's, to me, it's, Grant, it's the ultimate example of when you're really pressing because you're so out of your comfort zone, you're doing just stuff you'd never do.
I absolutely agree, and I think that was kind of, I mean, you don't see Brian Snitker too often after a game stray from his kind of straight down the middle, even keel approach to, all right, well, you know, what in our day, this went wrong, that goes wrong, it happens, it's baseball, so on and so forth, and while some people, that might drive them crazy, when you think about the overall, I think, dynamic of the team, you can appreciate that really nobody's ever going under the bus because that's also typically not a good way to run a team. But last night, when asked about whatever in the world it was that happened there, Brian Snitker said, I don't know, you'd have to ask them. So I feel like the bunt that was shown, apparently this had been worked out between Kelnick and letting Laureano know, hey, you know, if you get to third, watch for the bunt. And if you get it down, you're a genius. If it works, you're a genius. When it doesn't work, you have to look at it and say, why would you take that chance? Because not only did Jared Kelnick take the bat out of his hands, he also took it out of Austin Riley's hands. And unfortunately for Ramon Laureano, he was overcommitted and even had a chance to get back to third, but never really turned around to look and ended up getting caught in that rundown. And then things got even worse for him when he overran what could have been the final out of an inning and given the Braves at least another chance to try to win that game. I don't know. It's a perfect example of guys overthinking it, trying to do too much, and pressing in a different way than I think we've seen. Because usually when you think about pressing, you don't think about who it is that's trying to get the bunt down.
What about the play in the outfield, though? I thought that was a play he should have made. I think he owned it at the end of the game. That was completely something else. Then he should have made that play, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And they can call that a walk-off single all they want to. That is 100% at every level of baseball, softball, or any other sport played on a diamond where a ball is put into play. That is an error. Just because he didn't touch it doesn't make it a base hit. That was an ordinary effort play that he should have made. And I know he said, I let the team down today by not making that play.
Trying to steal third. What do you make of that earlier in the game?
Of all of the things that were not going right for them, the aggressive base running by Whit Merrifield, I didn't have as much of a problem with. However, there seemed like an opportunity where maybe with Nacho Alvarez, who has had some struggles thus far, hasn't really been able to get comfortable at the big league level, getting a bunt down there might have been better in that situation than any other. But he strikes out with Merrifield, gets caught stealing third base. Might have been, if he was called safe, I bet the call would have stood if the Mets had challenged. That was another weird thing. It just made it even more and more frustrating. I don't mind the aggressiveness in that situation, but I do feel like there were other ways that things could have gotten done to get him over to third with a chance to manufacture that run.
It is Grant McCauley with this guy's best baseball man in town, Dukes of Bell, live here at Hooters Mall of Georgia on a Friday. The other thing I was saying to Carl earlier, you squandered a great pitching effort. Sale struck out 9, the bullpen struck out 5, 14 Ks on the road, and you can't find a win.
I mean, if you look at what has gone wrong for the Braves this year and what we've talked about this year, the offense has been, you know, the main focus in that regard. But if we flip that coin over and look at what the pitching has done, if I were to tell you that the Braves pitching staff have allowed the fewest runs in baseball this year, you would think that this club would be just breezing its way towards a playoff berth or opportunity, and it's been anything but. But this was another example of Chris Sale goes out. He made one mistake to Francisco Lindor, who was one of the few hitters in baseball that really owns Chris Sale as well. The Mets did not take an at-bat with a runner in scoring position until they got the free runner in the 10th inning. And you lose that game, allowing just the three hits. I mean, when you talk about a frustrating game, no matter which way you look at it, the Braves are probably going to be pretty unhappy in hindsight and probably trying to avoid anything that even remotely resembles this moving forward, because this is just the kind of loss that I do feel like kind of sticks with you for a little while.
Grant, speaking of guys maybe we shouldn't be pitching to, you know, I feel like the Mets are hot, but they have a couple of guys right now that are feeling themselves, right? I mean, McNeil has 12 RBIs in his last nine games. Should we be throwing to this guy?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, it's not like you can – and look, again, I'll point this out. The pitching wasn't the problem yesterday. The run prevention was not the problem. Well, except in the 10th inning it was a problem, but that wasn't Pierce Johnson's fault. That was a bad play. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't think that they need to necessarily change a lot about what's going on the mound. I mean, clearly, and we can talk about maybe a little bit of help they could use with Max Fried being down and fortifying the rotation. But overall, I mean, this pitching staff continues to deliver and do the things that it needs to do. But, again, I think you just go out there and attack these lineups the way that they have been and just kind of hope that the offense can figure out a way to do something for you and get themselves on track. But I feel like a broken record because we've been having this conversation for about the last 90 days.
The Mets are just a half game behind the Braves right now. Carl touched on it. They're hot. Senga, they're getting guys back off of injury. And can Charlie give us a gritty effort tonight? Because, you know, the Mets, as you said, they are feeling themselves.
Yeah, they definitely need what they can get from Charlie Morton and the Braves bullpen to continue the string of what I feel like has been strong performances all year long as well. Interesting thing about the Mets is, yeah, they're only a half game back in the wild card for the Braves, but that also means they could send the Braves tumbling into third place if they pass them in the wild card. And the Braves haven't been in third place this late in the season since August of 2021. And no, I'm not saying that to tell you that, you know, it's going to end the same way, but lots of things that haven't happened in a while are kind of going on for the Braves. And I guess it all kind of sits in the lap of Alex Anthopoulos to see if he can pull a rabbit or three or four out of his hat over the next 3 days. But it's been a while since the Braves have gone into or this deep into a season and not been in one of the top two spots in the division.
Are you surprised the Orioles and Phillies pull off that trade? Austin Hayes has kind of been a mixed bag, but Phillies send Dominguez to the Orioles.
Yeah, it was kind of a trade that could help both clubs. I've always kind of liked Sir Anthony Dominguez. I know he's had a couple of blow-ups here or there, but that's a really good arm. But I think they needed help in the outfield, and Hayes could be the opportunity to fortify themselves there. Obviously, the trade deadline's heating up a little bit because you've got Zach Eflin getting traded. You got Randy Rosarena on the move. So we're going to start to see these deals. We're going to start to see some of this movement and see what and who is available and who has decided they're going to be a seller. And the question, I think, was, would the Tampa Bay Rays be one of those clubs? And thus far, they are the biggest seller.
Snit just spoke. I'm just relaying this to you because I know you got stuff going on. He said the leadoff spot needs some outside thinking, outside of the box thinking with Kelnick struggling. What do you think that means? Is that he's going to shuffle the guys around?
Yeah, I mean, if you have to at this point, I think, move pieces around and just continue to try things until something clicks, because this has been an ongoing problem. And you knew it was going to be a problem when Ronald Acuña Jr. went down because there is no clear, you know, heir apparent in that regard. That's Ronald's job. I mean, if there were to be another guy, then I would tap Michael Harris on the shoulder and say, hey, show us what you can get. He's not available. Beyond that, Ozzie Albies, not available. Jared Kelnick did well in that first 3-4 weeks up there, but his last 2-3 have been plenty of struggles. And when you don't have anybody setting the table, it's hard to score runs. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean we're talking about leadoff hitter Austin Riley? Does it mean leadoff hitter Marcell Ozuna? I mean, I say this tongue-in-cheek, but, I mean, at this point, can you really rule anything out if it kickstarts the offense?
Right. I'm with you, man. And by the way, we'll be back here Tuesday and Wednesday at Hooters Ball of Georgia. Tuesday is the trade deadline, Tuesday afternoon. Will we have something over the weekend? I mean, are they going to be proactive, or do you think it's going to come down to the last few minutes of the trade deadline for a double A?
No, it looks like right now that at least this market is moving. I had kind of wondered if, on the whole, the market was going to kind of come down to that last 24 hours or really the last, you know, like you said, run up to the deadline itself. The answer to that, obviously, is no. It looks like that you know, clubs are going to do some dealing, and the teams can be proactive, and I wouldn't rule it out with Alex Anthopoulos at any time to find the deal and pull the trigger on the one that works. But finding the right deal or deals, plural, I mean, I don't know that his decision points have changed all that much, because if this club has a chance to get into the postseason, I feel like he's going to be looking to give them reinforcements, to send the message to the club that, hey, you know, we're going to get you some help. We still believe that you can do some things. There are 2 months left in the season. So I don't see the Braves, you know, throwing in the towel, waving the white flag, and not getting something done over the trade deadline. But I'm curious, as everybody else is, on what the world is going to be.
Grant, great job as always. We'll see what happens over the weekend. We'll be talking with you on Monday. Hopefully we're talking about a nice, you know, comeback and maybe winning this series situation. But at this point, it's just hard to see where this is going to go. Grant McCauley, tell the people when you're on this weekend.
Yep, I'll be on 5 to 7 with From the Diamond right here on 92.9 The Game. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, also on the Odyssey app. And, of course, we'll be talking about everything going on over the course of the weekend, breaking down some of these trades and sizing up what it is the Braves need or can do or have done by the time we get to Sunday, all on From the Diamond from 5 to 7 right here on 92.9 The Game.
All right, brother, you're the man. Here's the deal. We come back to work Monday. What if the Braves lose, you know, 3 games to the Mets? I mean, now you're looking to be in, you know, anywhere, and the Phillies aren't slowing down.
Nope.
You could be 11 games out.
Yep.
And then a lot of folks would say, is it worth – see, that's the question. Are we just going to – is Alex going to do something big? I don't think that's really doable.
No.
And then on a year like this, to get something big that fits, which is kind of threading the needle, because as you said, we're going to have a log jam in the outfield. If you bring on a salary, you really don't feel, is it worth whatever your biggest prospects are left? Like A.J. Smith-Shawver has always mentioned, maybe this isn't the year to do that.
It's not worth the give.
Not worth it. You're right.
And by the way, again, with these trades, you're still taking on money, which is something they don't want to do.
They're going to be top four in payroll next year.
All right. We've got more to get to coming up.
It's hard times. Dusty Rhodes said hard times.
We'll hear from BMAC, Brian McFadden. Also, we'll get you caught up on the latest with the Falcons today. Day 2 of camp, and it was entertaining, to say the least. Find out what we saw and what we heard coming up next.